Okay, ready to go. Okay, good morning. We continue in the Share Tshuva. We're on page 34 and 35. Sif Chof Hei. We're discussing the seventh principle of Hachna, of humility. We've given a number of reasons, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, why humility is critical. And the last one was, a person shouldn't take credit for what he's done, because if he does, then he may stop doing it because he's feeling he's already going beyond the call of duty. So now, in Chaf Hei, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to give us textual proofs to what he is saying, that humility is such an important thing. And in coming to discuss this principle of humility in regards to tshuva, this is explained with the words of the Navi of blessed memory, with the prophet Micha. And over there, the Jewish people are asking questions of Hashem through the words of the prophet. They're asking two questions through the words of the prophet. Here's the questions. Bamo akadem Hashem ikaf lelokei marom. So, Bamo Akadem Hashem, with what can I approach Hashem and thereby thank Hashem for everything that He's done for me in my life? And the next line is, Ikaf Lelokei Marom, how can I show my humility? These are two questions that the Jewish people, through the Navi, are asking Hashem. Perish. So Rabbeinu Yonah is going to explain what this means. Bamo akadem Hashem, with what can I approach Hashem? What's that referencing? Al rov chasodov, for all His abundant kindnesses that He has done for me. Now how do we know that's what it's talking about? Ki hisker lamala b'parasha mechasei Hashem yisbarach. Because earlier in that chapter, it discusses the kindnesses of Hashem that He has done for the Jewish people. So that's what the first question is asking. Bamo akadem Hashem. With what can I approach Hashem to show my thanks to Him for everything He has done for me? The second question is, Ubamo ikaf lelokei marom. And in what way can I humble myself before the lofty God? It's referring to al rov chata'ai, for the abundance of sins I have done. V'hisker, and when mentioning Hashem's name, it says, Elokei Marom, the God, the high and mighty God. Lahoros, to teach us, ulodi, and to inform us. Kamaroy, asher yikaf, v'yikona, mishihim marom. How worthy it is for a person to humble himself before one who has rebelled against the God who is so high. In other words, to bring across the idea that I should feel humble by the greatness of Hashem in comparison to what I have done to let Him down as to what He expected from me. And that's the question. Okay. V'ikana mi shehimra rom. Going next page. Al hakol. Who's the highest of everything? So how do I deal with that? So now, the Navi goes on. This is all just teaching us some psukim over here. That's why this page is going to go quickly here. So now the Navi goes on. Okay, so what do I do? What do I do to thank for everything He's done? How do I show my humility for the various I've done? You already see right away. That's the proof that He's bringing. He's bringing the proof. How do we know that humility is a critical aspect of tshuva? So that's already the proof. But it goes on and gives you the whole thing. Shall I come before Hashem with a korban ola, with a burnt offering, with calves that are a year old? Should I bring him korbanos? Hayirtza Hashem be'alfei elim berivavos nachle shomen? Will Hashem be happy with if I bring thousands of rams for korbanos, and I'm going to bring 10,000 rivers of oil as libations to go with the korbanos? In other words, is Hashem going to be happy with a lot of korbanos? We give him lots of korbanos. Is that how I'm going to thank for all that he's done for me? That's, in other words, the Jews are thinking, maybe that's what I have to do. And then, the second clause, the second aspect, what do I do to humble myself? Ha'itein b'chori pishi. Should I bring the firstborn for my offense that I've done? I should be willing to kill my eldest child. That's going on the second question of how can I humble myself before the Almighty God. And therefore he says, V'amar, he says, Ha'atein b'chori pish'i. Should I give my firstborn son for my willful transgressions? So what is that showing? Laharos kniyosi ukfifosi al rov chatoi. To show my humility and my subjugation to the abundance of sins that I have done. Meaning to say, v'chi ani makir otzem pishi ki roi loseis b'chori korban bavur pishi ki rav ma'od v'chi otzum. Because I recognize the depth of my willful sin because it's worthy to really give my firstborn as an offering instead to replace, to atone for the sin that I did because it's great and awesome considering who you are and what I should have been doing. That's what the Jewish people think they should be doing, which they recognize how terrible their avera is. That's what he's saying. Pri bitni chatas nafshi. The fruit of my, and it goes on with the pasuk, the fruit of my womb for the sin of my soul. So saying, there's two clauses on this. Hisker ala pesha b'chori, on the pesha aspect, which is a stronger expression of sin, firstborn, val chatas, and for the sin, which is usually a shogeg, an unintentional, privitni, the fruit of my stomach, ki ha pesha hu amered, because pesha is a rebellion, kesher amru sev zichon v'vrocha. As our rabbis explained, pesha is a stronger expression of sin, hu yosir mircheid, it's more than sin. So that's what the Jews will thought they had to do. So now we get the Navi's answer. V'hoysa ha-tshuva. And this is the answer of the Navi. On behalf of Hashem. Higid l'cho. So, you know, at this point, the Jew is probably willing to give up. In other words, this Judaism is asking too much of me. And that's what many a Baal Tshuva thinks doing tshuva, before they become a Baal Tshuva. He says, what is this going to require of me to be a good Jew? Oh, I know what it is. I'm going to have to give away all my money and give away my family and everything. I'm giving away my whole life. Thousands of karbanos to show thanks to Hashem, to atone for my sins. I'll have to kill my children. Right? Okay, the pagans believed in that as well. That's what they did. They threw their kids into volcanoes or whatever. But so that's what it thinks. So tshuva is extremely painful process, way beyond what I could do. It's too hard to be an Orthodox Jew. That's what the people are saying. To which the response is, And it's, you know, you're asking me to do things that are beyond my human capabilities. So the answer to that is, Higid l'cho Adam. So now, it has been told to you, Adam, man. In other words, we're talking to a human being here. We're not asking for things that are beyond a human being's capability. Ma tov, u'ma Hashem dorish mimcha. What is good, and what does Hashem seek from you? All he asks for is kimasos mishpat va'ahavas chesed. Hashem wants you to do justice, to be a just, proper person, v'ahavas chesed, and love doing kindness. Kiza nivchor min ha'olos va'menochos lekadim bo'as Hashem al chasadov. That's the best way. It's much better than giving animal offerings and meal offerings and libations. That's the best way to present yourself to Hashem for his kindnesses that he's done. That's all Hashem wants. You want to thank Hashem for what he's done for you? Be a mensch. Do chesed. That's all. And now, that clause is going on the first question. And then, now here's Rabbi Yonah's chiddush. Vatznei aleches im aleikecha. And walk humbly with your God. Do things quietly and privately. And that's what Rabbi Yonah said yesterday. You should do your mitzvahs clandestinely so you don't show off. So walk humbly with Hashem. What's that going on? Say ikar kniyascha ukfifascha lavodas Hashem batznei aleches. That is the primary way to show your humility and your subjugation is by serving Hashem with hatznei aleches, with discretion, hidden. That's what it means, really, hidden. Kizay yora al kniyascha shelo sach mot kovod al maasecha nichbadim af al amailas asher lo yachad sema yetzis yitzurof. This will show your humility that you should not be lusting and yearning for honor over the activities, although the activities you've done are very nice, right? But, and that's especially what Hashem doesn't want people to do. You shouldn't glorify yourself with what you've done. Just like, in other words, in the same way, He doesn't want you to glorify yourself over mundane virtues, kamaha osher vagvura umine achachmas, like wealth, strength, and wisdom. Right? He doesn't want you to be arrogant over the fact that you're doing mitzvahs. So lasi haskel viadoas Hashem Yisbarach, except the only thing you take pride in is if you really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're really using your mind to get close to Hashem. That's something that takes a lot of effort. Moshe Nemers, it says, Al Yishal al Chacham b'Chacham Asor. A wise person should not glorify himself with the wisdom that he has. So there you have the pasuk, the whole proof that he brings clearly to show you where the Jewish will realize that they've done things that are wrong, and they think they should mamish rip out their kishkes and give their children as an atonement to show the humility before Hashem. Hashem says, you want to show your humility before me? Do mitzvahs without showing off. Finished. Do mitzvahs without taking credit for what you're doing. And that's the best way to show your humility before me. Okay. And really, what that really is showing is when you do it that way, as we've explained before, that's the main thing that Hashem wants us to do. The main thing is, remember, as we learned from Rav Miller, that's his first shmooze, in the Sfarim on Rav Miller's works in Hebrew. He says, Hatznei aleches, what's the critical point? Im Hashem aleikecha. Walk discreetly with Hashem. With Hashem. That's the main thing. Walk with me. Be with me. That's what we talked about on Yom Kippur between Musaf and Mincha. The goal is to be with me. Not to do the mitzvahs discreetly, but to be with Hashem. To walk with me. Be with me. That's the thing that nobody really needs to know about. Do that privately and discreetly, and that's how you show your humility. You don't show off to people. So that's the proof from the pasuk. Yes.
When does this notion of the sacrifices and giving up your firstborn, because that's what he's comparing what the Jews think they should do, and actually what we should do is just walk
right
with Hashem humbly.
Right.
But where does the notion come from in the first place?
Why it was the notion of the pagan rituals that went on.
Yeah, but why did we get this involved with this sort of thing?
Why are they doing it? Because it's something that would be a logical thing to do.
How is it logical?
Well, listen, it's a concept of Mesiras Nefesh, of giving up, self-sacrificing. So you'd figure the ultimate self-sacrifice would be to give away one of my children.
Okay, I understand that.
You want to show how much...
Did Hashem ever ask for that sort of
thing? No, listen, the Goyim don't need an excuse to adulterate the will of God. It's not the first time that non-Jews have taken Jewish concepts and adulterating them.
Oh, so this is not a Jewish concept at all.
It's not. No, although we mentioned from Rav Dessler that, as he explains that Kedus Yitzchak,
right.
He explained, I don't want to go through the whole thing right now, but he explains that in theory, what Hashem would have wanted at the Kedus Yitzchak is that Yitzchak should have been sacrificed and then immediately afterwards would have been the Tchias HaMeisim and would have been the Tikkun Olam. So, you know, there is a svara to say that it could have been on a one-time deal only, that had Avram been able to slaughter Yitzchak, and had the generation been worthy of it, then immediately the Tikkun Olam would have come, and Yitzchak would have been resurrected, and the whole thing would have been wonderful. And that, but he explains, Rav Dessler explains how you could see why human beings, why it would logically make sense in terms of subjugating oneself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that one should be willing to kill his children. But the reason we don't do that, the reason we don't do that, is because then there'd be no religion. There'd be no way to serve Hashem. So you can't do that. But you could hear the logic, you know, you have to self-sacrifice in so many other ways. You have to be willing to give away all your money in the world, not to transgress one lav. Not to transgress one negative precept. You have to become a pauper. Okay, a person says, eat treif or give me all your money. So you have to give away all your money. That's it. You have to live as a pauper the rest of your life. For the one time that he treif. That's what Torah requires. So if I have to do that already, many people value their money more than their children. Without question. So okay, I'd rather give you one of my kids. So you can understand how a person would think that. It's not so crazy. You know, serving Hashem requires a lot of self-sacrifice. It's not, right? We know that. So, and what if Hashem would say, give up one of your kids? Okay, that's what you say. That's what Avram Avinu did.
But it never happened. That's the whole point.
But Avram didn't know that.
Yes, he did.
He didn't know that Hashem would say not to sacrifice his son. When Hashem told him to take his son, he thought he had to kill him. Right? Only in the last second, what's Hashem showing? See, maybe by right and by logic and everything else, maybe you should kill him. But at the end of the day, I don't want that. So you can understand how Goyim could want that. It's not so unusual. Goyim would want that. So that's what they're thinking. So they're saying, no, But what the Navi is really trying to bring across, is what I said before, is to have a secular, no, we're making the follow-up calls now. For a secular Jew to do something religious, they'd rather die. They'd rather die than go to your house for Shabbos. They'd rather die. For sure they'd rather die than give tzedakah. They'd rather die than put on tefillin. They'd rather die than come to shul on Shabbos. They'd rather die. So, what do you mean? It's crazy. It's so crazy. It's as crazy as killing my kid. It's as crazy as ripping out my kishkas. You know? And therefore I'd rather not listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, it's not so crazy. All you gotta do is walk humbly with me. Just live with me. That's all I want. So that's showing you the divergence of what people think how terrible is Avodas Hashem, and to which it's very reasonable thing. All Hashem wants is be a mensch, love to do kindness, and do it humbly. Finished. That's all it's all about. And people, and that's one of the last words the Navi ever tells Klal Yisrael. It's all Hashem wants you to do. So it's that's the biggest lesson, but he's using it in terms of to show that humility is part of the tshuva process. Okay, let's go on. Chafav. So you did a whole page already. See, yesterday we did two lines. Right? Chafav. Still on humility. He's going to be on humility for a while. Vod nischayev v'al tshuva l'kniya. And there's another reason why the Baal Tshuva should be humble. Mipnei shu chayev lohosir minafsho hamida shegormois lachto umo'olos hapshoim. Because he's obliged to remove from his soul, the characteristics that will cause him to sin and will bring about activities that will cause sins on purpose. In other words, an arrogant person will do more averus. Remember, the Baal Tshuva has to stop doing all averus from now on. A person who's not humble is more likely to do averus. Okay, and now he's going to explain further on that. Chaf Zion. Hagaiva misabeves kama veris umagberes yetzer lev odom alav. Arrogance brings about many types of sins and strengthens the yetzer hora of the heart of a person. Shenemar, as many, many psukim prove, One of them is v'ram levavcha, your heart will become lifted, meaning you'll be arrogant. V'shachachtas Hashem alakecha, and you will forget Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'nemar, another pasuk in Proverbs says, rum einayim urechav lev, near rishoyim chatos. Rum einayim, a person who walks with his high eyes lifted up, right? His nose is up in the air. Urechav lev. And he has a broad heart, meaning lots of lust. It's an arrogant guy. Near Rishoyim Chatos. It's a near. It is a plowed field for the wicked to do averus. Meaning to say, how do you plant a field that produces a lot of fruit? What's the first thing you gotta do? You wanna have a field to produce a lot of fruit. The first thing is you gotta plow it. By plowing it, you make the earth fertile enough to take in the seeds and to grow them. So the Navi is saying, so what is the field in which the activities of the wicked will grow? How do you make sure that we can plant wicked activities and produce wicked fruits, right? So you plow it with arrogance. It's making yourself very fertile to do terrible averus. And what's that? That's arrogance. Because the arrogant person has nothing to hold him back from doing an avera. Perish. Now he explains what we just said. Hagaiva nir harishoyim. Arrogance is the plowing of the wicked. Ki mimeno yifru hachatoyim. Because from that will come out, grow an abundance of sins. Kashe nemar, as the pasuk says, v'rom levavecha v'shachachta. Your heart will be lofty, you're going to be arrogant. For shachad, you forget Hashem. And he gives many more psukim to prove this. V'nemar, it says, "Begavas rosha yidlak oni." With the arrogant of the wicked, they will hotly pursue the poor. In other words, they won't be embarrassed, they won't be ashamed to cause the poor to suffer. V'nemar hadovros al tzadik, and they speak arrogantly against the tzaddik, osog, the gaiva, with all kinds of arrogance and falsehood and things like that. V'nemar, another pasuk, kinosnu chiti som be'eretz chaim, they strike their fear into the land of the living. And now he explains, kumash osim and adam near basadet, just like people, if they want to plow a field, could they leave frosbo hazer of lesa frov tfuas, in order to plant a lot of seeds and to gather a lot of grain. So similarly, kenosim reshayim as a gaiva near bilvavam zorim bar machshavas aros the holy god smich aver shem pri machshavisam. Similarly, the wicked, in terms of the arrogance it plows in their hearts, in order to seed in it evil thoughts, and then to bring forth and to grow averus, which are the fruits of your thinking. Okay. So in other words, he's saying is that the gaiva, the arrogance that is within a person, gets the person thinking all kinds of schemes, all kinds of plots that are in tune with what he thinks of himself as a person. And then that eventually leads the person to hurting other people, taking advantage of other people, and thinking badly of other people. Okay, so now all terrible activities. So where does that all start from? From the person's impression of who he is. The impression of himself gets him thinking along a certain line about himself and about others, and that's what produces all the negative activity. And that's the source of all the problems. Okay, continuing. Valderech HaMashol, and for example, Shomer HaNavi, the Navi says in the prophet Hosea, Uporach Karosh Mishpat, and it sprouts forth like a poisonous plant. All right, his judgment. As his judgment, you know, sprouts forth in a very negative way. Umasha omer chatos. Why say the word chatos? What's the idea of chatos over here? Perish, in other words, it's getting very technical. See, it's very interesting. Rabbi Yonah sometimes will just go say very deep ideas. Then he's going to spend all the time just telling you how to say precise translations of psukim. So he's worried about the words don't fit in 100%. When he says that what does it say? Near Rishayim Chatos, so the grammar isn't 100% correct, so he's working on the grammar now, so bear with us for a moment. That which says Chatos, perish near Rishayim, near Chatos. The plowing of the wicked is a plowing for sin. V'kolal Chatoim Rabim. In other words, it includes many, many sins. Kemo Chatas Yehuda, like the expression of Chatas Yehuda. So it means to say the plowing of the wicked produces many sins. Oh, Yir Perush, or we could explain a little differently by adding a Vav in front of the word Chatos. Nir Rishoyim V'chatos. In other words, the Pasuk is B'chasarn Vav, missing a Vav, but you read it as if there is a Vav. The plowing of the wicked, and it produces sin. Kamo, like you find by the word Shemesh Yireach, sun, moon. You have to put a Vav in to make it make sense, sun and the moon. Okay. V'hatam. And the reason for all this is, Milvad ki agayva goremes chatoim. What he means to say is like this. Beyond the fact that arrogance causes sin, here's the point he's making. Hamida atzmo chatos. The attribute itself is a sin. So that's what he's saying. Nir rishoyim chatos. So what it says, urachav lev, a person who's arrogant, is nir rishoyim, is the planting of the wicked. Chatos. So either it'll mean it'll bring you to sin, or that itself is a chait. Being arrogant alone is a chait. Not only the fact it will cause you to do sins. If a person's arrogant, there's no question he will eventually do averes. There's no question that he has to do averes. He thinks he's so great. He understands more than Hashem. He understands more than other people. He deserves honor. Of course he's going to do averes. That's not the question. We don't have to wait for him to do the averes. The arrogant person itself is in a sinful state, and that's what the Pasuk is saying. Kamo Shenemar, as it says in Mishle, Tovas Hashem kol gvah lev. What is an abomination to Hashem? And we know that Hashem reserves that word, an abomination, to refer to a person under the most extreme of eros, such as homosexuality or things like that. Hashem reserves it for the worst type of activities. It's like an activity that strips away your humanity. That's what an abomination is. It's not just stam, you do averis. You could do a lot of averis and you're still a human being. You're still a human being. Okay, it's not good, and it's terrible, and this and that. But you're a human being who sins. An abomination is, you've dehumanized yourself. You're not even in the ballpark of being a human being now. You know, you go to a cow, logically explain to a cow he shouldn't be eating in another person's field. You don't. You muzzle the cow, and that's the end of the discussion. A cow is not one to be reasoned with. So a person who is doing actions that are a toeva, it's a person that is so disgusting. In other words, he's taken his humanity and strip his humanity away. And that there's nobody to talk to. There's nothing to talk about. So that's regarding homosexuals. That's clearly because the person now has lost. We're not going to go into that whole Indian now, but the whole idea of being human means that Tzelem Elokim is man and woman. Tzelem Elokim is man and woman. Finished. The Torah says it. If you want to be a human being, you have to be married. Finish. Or at least you want to be married. Trying to get married. You realize you have to get married. But if you beshita hold, you don't have to get married, a man to a woman, right? That means you've dehumanized yourself. You will never have the Tzelem Elokim. Finished. So you have nobody to talk to. You're not a human being. So that in that same category is the arrogant person. Tovas Hashem kol gvalev. A person who's arrogant has taken away his humanity, right? For many reasons. Ramban on the Pasuk, he talks about it, talks about the Chumash, but when referencing this Pasuk, who has the right to be arrogant? Only one being has the right to be arrogant. Hashem. Hashem could be arrogant. And I was, what do you mean arrogant? To take credit. God is God's gift to the world. And you may say, oh, this guy thinks he's God's gift to the world. But God is God's gift to the world. He's entitled to think that way. You understand what I'm saying? Like that's a whole expression. That's always used. Hey, he thinks he's God's gift to the world. Everybody's got to do for him and this and that. That's the area. He thinks he's great. Okay, now, who is entitled to think he's great? Hashem. Because he is great. When Hashem thinks he's great, he's not arrogant, you see. That's not arrogant, but it's the... Listen, Hashem doesn't need to be persuaded. He is the greatest, he knows it, and he acts accordingly. So how is it when a human being thinks he's great? So the Ramban says it's like you're taking the raiment of the king and wearing it. The only being who can wear this feeling of greatness, gvalev, a lofty heart. A lofty heart means I am incredible. Right? It's only Hashem. That's Hashem's garment. So now if you act that way, it's like you're wearing the king's garments, which is the biggest chutzpah in the world. Because what you're really saying is that you're God. That's what the arrogant person really thinks he is. He thinks he's God. I'm so great. Everybody has to listen to me. I can't do anything wrong. I mean, one of the concepts of God is God never makes a mistake. Right? God knows everything. He understands everything. No one can argue with Hashem. Right? That's some of the attributes that, I mean, that's reasonable because he does know everything and he is all powerful. And everything has to be the way he wants it because he has a plan for the world in godly understanding that has to be. So what's the arrogant person think? He knows everything. He's more clever than anyone else. Everyone has to submit themselves before him. So he thinks he's God. So there's many ways to destroy your humanness. You can destroy your humanness by taking half of your mitos and not trying to improve on them. You could lose your humanness by being half a person. You can lose your humanness by thinking you're God. Once you think you're God, we're in big trouble. There's no way we can get you on the right track. It's just not possible. What, are you gonna accept the tochacha? You're gonna try to improve? What does he have to improve on? He's already God's gift to the world. So that's the most disgusting thing that Hashem looks at. You think you're the king? You think you're the king. So there's nothing, you can't talk to such a guy. Arrogant people, there's nobody to talk to. So that itself is a sinful state. Well, what did I do? What did you do? You rebelled against the king. You're putting on the king's clothes. That's the worst thing you do. You think you're the king. You have to wait for him to do something. That itself is the biggest chutzpah around. Walking around, he's the king. How do you feel, you know, when you're in the house and all the kids in your house are deciding how the house should be managed? You know, you have times where there's, especially when you have older children. And especially, you know, when they're married already. Because then they're extremely clever. You know, and you have all these discussions that are going on. Well, you know, I think you shouldn't be in this room because I'm entitled to this room. I think that you're not entitled to take the car. So then I say, you know, I just want to inform, and there's a whole discussion going on, and I just want to inform you something, that I still own this house. I still pay for these cars. And as soon as any of you want to start doing that, then you can have a voice of what to say. Until then, I will decide everything. They kind of forget it for a minute, you know, because they're so accustomed to having their room. I mean, I said, well, I've had my room last week. I said, you've had the room because I've let you have it. Remember that? I could throw you out today. I could charge you rent. And you're telling me, you're telling a sibling, you know, what should be going on? I think we should, what do you mean? You have nothing to say. Nothing to say. Now, of course, you know, they don't mean that, chas v'shalom. They get just so used to it, they get so involved, and as soon as they hear that, then they recognize what the problem is. You know? But the arrogant person doesn't have a parent to tell them that they're being arrogant. Nobody can tell him that he's arrogant. He is, and there's just nothing to talk about. And if you go and tell him he's arrogant, he'll punch you out, and that's all. And he'll say, well, he's crazy. But that's why that itself is an aver. Do you understand? It could be no worse aver. You know, what's worse? Your kid, let's say, steals $100 from you. What would you feel worse at? Your kid lifted $100 out of your wallet, or your kid is start giving orders as to how the house should be run? I mean, stealing $100 ain't great either. I'm not saying that's a good thing. But if they're like, they're just running the house. They think they own the house. They stole $100. Okay, they had a Yetzer hara. Had a Yetzer hara to steal. You know, they needed $100 and they were embarrassed. They were ashamed and this and that. Okay, it's violating your, fine. But they didn't realize that they're running the house. But if they think they're running the house, you know, and then they talk with a certain attitude, you know, you can't, that's much more difficult to live with than, okay, they lifted $100. It's because, one is it's a chassard in one part. Okay, to present a taiva. Okay, he had a taiva. He couldn't control the taiva. He needed $100. He was too embarrassed to ask for you. Okay, it's a chutzpah, it's everything, but I don't think they really think that they are you. But when they do things that displace you, that the things that are really the covet that you should have, and you're not giving you that covet, that's much worse. And that itself is sinful. Yeah, Jeanette was first and then.
So, we always hear that we're born with certain midos.
I'm sorry?
We always learn that we're born with certain midos, with more of one and more of another. And
yeah.
Our tikkun is to try to, balance everything.
Yes.
Is arrogance something that somebody is born with? It doesn't sound like you're this arrogant.
No, arrogance is the fine line between good self-esteem, which you should have, have a az kinamer, should be as bold as the leopard. Now, for you to put on tefillin in an airport in Texas, well, it's easier in Texas, Grada. You have to find a place that's more atheist. In Toronto, probably. It takes a certain boldness. You have to be bold to do that. Right? You have to really say, I've got nothing to be ashamed of. I'm doing something great. Which is good. But the other, just cross over the line, and you think you're great, right? That's already going over the line too much. So it comes from a good aspect. So it comes from a holy characteristic. You have to have boldness. That's a very important.
Nobody can be born with arrogance. Like, you're born with an angry disposition. We've always said some people are born with an angry disposition. I don't know.
Why can't the guy be born with arrogance?
Yeah.
Why not? You have to remember, arrogant, anger, the Rambam says, is the other side of the coin of an arrogant person. So if they're born with anger, that means they have arrogance. They have within themselves a feeling of good self beyond, right? So there's no reason why they can't be born with that. No reason they can't be born with that. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's such a fine line. First of all, the concepts. God has the right to be arrogant because of...
But it's not... But it's not arrogant. But it's not arrogant, though.
I understand.
God can feel he's great.
Right. So he has a right to. Then we have the concept of makos, right? Of kingship, where we...
Yes.
Where we go through these combinations of, midos and things like that that we're looking at, even, the 49 levels and how we're...
Yes, yes.
And we talk about our purpose in life is to
emulate
God, become as close to God as possible. So it's very murky in terms of where the line is of displaying certain characteristics that might either be perceived to be arrogance or might cause you to move more towards arrogance than you should.
Right. No, I understand your question. If you're supposed to emulate God, so you're emulating his arrogance.
Trying to emulate perfection. Well, there's a...
Right. But obviously, as you do it as a person, it has to come out a little different than as Hashem. Just like in all the midos. Your chesed, no matter how much chesed you do, will never be as much as Hashem can do. In other words, the idea is the image of God means you're a miniature model of Hashem. So to the degree that you can do chesed, that's what Hashem asks from you. You can do chesed in a way that Hashem does chesed, but you can't do the volume of chesed. You're not in his league of chesed. In any of the midah, you can't do it on that, level the way Hashem can do it. You could do it in that style, you understand, but not that level. You just can't do chesed the way Hashem can do chesed. And don't ever think you can. But you can mini-model it. You can mini-model it that, you know, just like Hashem does chesed and doesn't let people know he's doing the chesed, so you can do chesed, not letting no one do the chesed. But for you to go feed the whole world, you're never going to be able to do that. So you got to get over that. You'll never be able to do chesed that way. So in every midah, as much as you're trying to approach it, there's going to be a place where it's going to be, that's as far as you can go in the midah, and you can't go any farther in the midah. I know he's not arrogant because it's not possible. But if we would display the same feelings as Hashem would in that area, for us that would be arrogance. Because on the other hand, we're His servants.
He's the opposite of arrogance.
We're His servants. We reflect it in boldness. No, but there's times where it's Hashem owes. You know, He comes with His power and His might and His boldness. And he knows that he is God's gift to the world. So, but you, if you would say the same thing, you are. So how do you measure that? You are God's gift to the world in terms of being His ambassador to the world. That's where you're God's gift to the world, not because you're smart. See, so that's where you have to know where to take the midah and where you know you can't go beyond that. Yeah, you are God's gift to the world. For what? To make the world better. That's the only reason God is God's gift to the world. To make the world better. And then you have to realize that what He gave you, or if you think you have, is from Him. So there's nothing to be bold about. And on the other hand, there's humility, which God also has humility. And that's where they balance. That's the midos always balance. There's always chesed and gvura balance each other off to have tiferes. Netzach and hod get balanced with yesod. Netzach is eternity. Netzach is victory. Netzach means I could do anything. Now, that could really get you to be a Baal Gaiva. That's what Netzach does. So that right next to that is Hod, which is humility. So on the one end, you have to say, I could do anything within reason. There's nothing to say. I can win all the time. I can win by doing mitzvahs. I can win by going against the non-Jews who hate the world. I can win. And that means I've got a lot in me to be able to win. That's what Netzach says. Netzach says, if not, who says I can't do this? I'm great. You are. You are in the Tzalam Elokim. You're great in terms of potentials and power and things like that. What do you mean to say you can't get up in the morning at 6 o'clock? You're great. You can do that. What do you mean to say that you can't hold back an insult when somebody says, you're great? So then you might think you're really great. So then you have hod, which is humility that balances it. And then you have the healthy balance. The arrogant person is going way over in the Netzach zone and isn't balancing it with the Hod. Right? And that's Hashem, as great as He is, He still acts with humility. That's why the Midas have to balance themselves. So if you don't balance it, then you're out of whack. All right? So let's just do one more line. Kamosha Nemar, as it says, Ubal Hagaiva Nimsar B'Yad Yitzra. And the Baal Gaiva is given over to his yetzer, to his inclination. Because if a person thinks of himself in an arrogant way, then there's nothing he doesn't deserve. Nothing he can't do. Nothing that he can't have. Because the way he thinks about himself. So there's no limit to where he'll go. Everything he desires, everything he wants belongs to me. I should have it. Everything negative that happens to me should not have happened. And he's totally given over to his inclinations. And if I want something, I'm an arrogant person, the arrogant says that I must have it, it's only right I should have it, and I should have it. That's why he's given over to Yetzer Hara. And the last point he says is, Ki ein ezer Hashem imo, achrihu lo tovas Hashem. Once he's abominable before Hashem, then Hashem doesn't help him anymore. Hashem doesn't want nothing to do with the guy anymore. Right? So, because Hashem says, you think you're God? So go ahead, go do it on your own, see what you can do. And what happens is you can't do anything. So that's worse. Hashem will never help such a person until he changes. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow morning, Gemara Tzishan.